Jace in
Hi, welcome to The Bitter End, and we are incredibly pumped to be watching Jason X, where Big Jace goes to space.
Because of course.
Because why not?
Because
early noughties, that's why.
Damn right, son. Damn right.
So this is a 2002 film, and I am Todd Jordan, joined by...
Mr. Tom Denny.
Yes. My goodness, the mood is jubilant here in the Bitter End production studios today. We've just watched the trailer for this film, and it is pant-wettingly hilarious.
Yeah, it's a real pick-me-up. If you're feeling a little bit down, just go on YouTube, and that's like a minute and 40 seconds. It's going to really pep you up.
I feel like you really especially needed this today, Tom, because after you had an actual on-air mental breakdown during Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah, I feel completely different now. So let's just recap a little bit about the trailer, shall we?
Yeah. Because... it starts, you would not know that it was a Friday the 13th.
No, you wouldn't. And like the best, like it's New Line Pictures or whatever. This is the new people that have the Jason franchise. And you see like the New Line logo, and then it sort of like sways backwards, and it's on like a giant billboard that's floating through a junk pile in space.
Yeah.
And then it's like, in the year 2451. And you're kind of like, okay.
They don't really explain much, but there's some pretty looking students about camp teen age. They're in space. They
space
discover,
students,
it looks like frozen Jason Voorhees' body. At some point he gets souped up because he starts with a normal hockey mask, but in later bits in the trailer he's got a shiny metal hockey mask.
Yeah, so the two kind of references that I was getting from this is that this is like Alien.
Yeah.
Like, they go down on some planet and find frozen Jason Voorhees and bring him on the ship, and then he goes around killing everybody, very Alien-esque.
Yeah.
And then when he gets souped up, it's a bit like in Ninja Turtles 2 when the Shredder drinks mutagen and becomes the Super Shredder. That is what he looks like, Super Shredder. And then...
there's just this banging new metal sound.
Oh my god.
Drowning pools, let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, it's the perfect soundtrack to this trailer. And everything, it looks very early noughties. Everything looks like super shiny. Everything looks like all MTV looked like in the early noughties.
All of the actors look like they were just pipped at the post to be cast in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, there's that kind of vibe. There's a lot of like one-liners. Someone calls like, "Hey, over here, Slappy." Someone calls Jason Voorhees Slappy.
Yeah.
There's an amazing line where this guy goes, "It's okay, he only wants his machete back." It just seems so weird. Like, this is where they literally no idea what to do with this property that they have. And New Line needs to knock out a film before the end of the tax year.
Dude, it's been 9 years since Jason Goes to Hell. 9 years! They from banging out a film every year, give or take a couple of rests, they've now waited 9 years. Why now?
Well, I just think that the whole slasher genre is just kind of died out. Like, through the 90s, I don't think it was really a thing.
Well, you had your Screams and your... I mean, that was early noughties as well, wasn't it?
Late 90s, early noughties, I think. But that was very much more... that was kind of, like, taking the piss out of what these films were. But, like, I think things like Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street, they had all kind of, you know, that their star was all waning.
So do you think the audience for this is people that have never really seen a slasher before, or do you think this is for the aging fans that had gone through with the followed the franchise from
probably
day one?
Just more for the aging fans, I guess. It's because I think this probably came out around the time when they were doing like Halloween H20, and I don't know when Wes Craven's New Nightmare, you know, like everyone was kind of like, we've been away for long enough, let's knock something out. But it being Friday the 13th, it looks like the least amount of thought and care has gone into this film.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's tackle the big number.
Let's tackle
the IMDb score. So, Tom, as a reminder, Jason Goes to Hell was the lowest scoring yet, 4.3. What do you reckon?
3.5.
It's not as bad as that. It does actually go up.
What?
Yeah, it goes up 4.4. It's gone up by 0.1.
Wow, okay, 0.1. That is, I'm sure we're going to really feel that improvement.
Well, I don't know, man. As long as none of us has a total sort of mental collapse during the watching of this film.
I promise nothing.
All right, guys, are you ready? Are you strapped in? Are you ready to blast off?
I've got my jetpack. I've got my, my ray gun.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
blast off!
Jason Space!
Me and Jason X sitting in a tree. K-I-L-L-I-N-G. That was fun! I really liked it.
Yeah?
I mean, is it a stupid film? Oh, yes, categorically.
Mm.
Is it unnecessary? Of course.
Yeah, it really is.
Is it not very good? Definitely. Do I care? No.
I think you liked it more than me.
Oh, mate.
I felt like the stupidity of the trailer promised a lot, and I don't think it was quite as much I wanted it to be. There was some fun stuff in it.
Wait. You mean that it wasn't as stupid as you were expecting it to be?
Okay, maybe not that. I just expected to be... I don't know. I expected myself to enjoy the stupidity of it more than what I got. But this, you know, this is the two of us, I think, maybe having slightly conflicting views on the films for the first time.
The first time ever. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not top three material.
It most definitely is not. It's not as bad as Part 5.
No.
But this was like the one... the only one as well as like Part 5 where I just felt myself just kind of going
it's just better than Goes to Hell.
Yeah, but I found Goes to Hell was more visceral nonsense,
I guess.
Well,
look, let's before we go too far down the road here, do you want to bring the listeners up to speed on what the fuck this film is about?
Yeah, fucking hell. So the opening of the credits of the film is really weird. Lot of very early naughty CGI going on. And it opens with billowing flames in what looks like hell.
I was so excited. I was like, I was finally getting to see hell. And it's, rock, fire, lava, mysterious sort of sounds of people screaming.
Yeah. And then it kind of intercuts with, I don't know, things of surgery and needles and then inside the bloodstream and then like pumping organs and it's all swirling around this weird way and you don't really know quite what is going on. And you're thinking, oh, maybe they're explaining how Jason gets out of hell. They don't.
No.
It was really strange to have that as the opening shot. I was like, yeah, cool, okay, they actually are going to acknowledge what happened at the end of the last film, but they don't.
It's heavily implied that a team of scientists have brought him back somehow, but it's not explained.
Yeah, and then that notion kind of conflicts a bit with what happens later on in the film. But anyway, we have this weird scene, and then we are in Camp Crystal Lake Research Facility.
Yeah.
At some point, what seems like the not too distant future from 2002 when this film came out, and Jason is back. He's there and he is chained up in the middle of a big black room.
He's like Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the
Lambs.
Yes,
very like Hannibal Lecter. And so they've got him at the research facility and they're like, okay, we're going to freeze Jason because he's just too dangerous. We have to freeze him. And that is, it's like our main girl. What's her name? Rowan, I think,
okay,
maybe.
Rowan.
Anyway, main girl. She works there and she's like, we've got to freeze him. He's too dangerous. He's going to kill everybody. But then you get like a high-ranking doctor.
Played by... David Cronenberg, director of The Fly, Naked Lunch, many other awesome films, Shivers. He pops up in this film for about a minute and a half.
Yeah, and he's like, he's no good. I don't need him frozen. I need him squishy. So like they're saying like he can regenerate. That's sort of, you know, that kind of power is we have to understand it, and it's worth any number of people getting killed just so we can understand it. He's definitely not going to escape. It's gonna be fine. Then Jason escapes and kills all of them.
All hell breaks loose.
But our main girl, she manages to lead Jason down into the cryogenic chamber.
Yep, smart move.
And she manages to, like, get him into the chamber, freeze him.
Yeah.
And she's there looking at the glass as he freezes up. And then Jason stabs through the chamber.
Yeah, it's a really sharp machete.
With his super sharp machete, which he just got from somewhere. There's no kind of like, I don't know where he found this massive machete at the army base. Stabs through, stabs her, and that breaches the containment. So then she starts to get frozen.
Yeah, the whole screen sort of turns blue because they couldn't be bothered to do an ice effect on her.
Yeah, she gets killed by blue filter.
Yeah.
And then we cut forward.
Yeah. How far forward do we cut?
We cut forward to the year 2455.
Yeah.
The world is now a billowing mass of like dust and smoke.
Crystal Lake looks like the surface of Mars now, basically.
Yeah. And then you've got this kind of team scavenging, looking for artifacts on Earth. Because it turns out that Earth 1 is dead.
And
that, that it cannot sustain life anymore. So everyone has moved off world to Earth 2. And these are like scavengers.
Such a clever name for a planet.
Yeah, it's great.
After that, Earth 3, 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
Earth 4, the final chapter.
Yeah. And it turns out these kind of like scavenger people are like, it's like a professor and his university students.
Yeah.
And like, I don't really know what he's a professor of, but it seems to be of old-timey Earth stuff.
Yeah.
And they find frozen main girl and frozen Jason, and they were like, they look at Jason's frozen body, and this is really nice, but they go like, what's that on his face? And it's like, oh, it's some kind of, you know, primitive man protective gear. And then someone goes like, it's an ice hockey mask. And like, oh yes, ice hockey, that's from the sport that was outlawed in 2024.
Sorry, hockey fans, you don't have many years left.
Yeah, so that's quite fun. And they find out that the main girl, like the girl, the way she's been frozen and her wounds, they can bring her back to life.
Yeah, because they've got the nano ants.
Nano ants are in this.
The way they can apparently heal anything. So like, there's a scene where one of the main guys gets his arm cut off just in an accident when they're taking frozen Jason Voorhees onto the spaceship. His frozen cadaver falls over, and as he's falling, the machete in his hand just clean cuts this stoner kid's arm off. And he's kind of all right about it. He's like, oh, don't forget to carry my arm. And he's just like laughing and joking around. And then they put him in this containment unit, and they set these robotic ants on him, these nano ants, and they rebuild his arm for him.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing they do for our main girl. Which basically rebuilds her entire body. It's all down to the ants. So, like, no one should really be that scared. Everybody that Jason can kill in this, I would just the ants loose just on the spaceship.
Chuck some ants on it. It'll be fine. Walk it off. That was really weird. Oh, there was quite a nice gag as well with the stoner kid who gets his arm cut off. That before that, they're in the room and all the nitrogen has, like, dissipating. And they go, like, hey, don't pick up anything, anybody. And he picks up a mug and then gets it frozen to his hand. And he's just in the background just waving this mug, just like, oh, no, whoops. And then he just kind of puts his hand behind his back just to try and cover it up. That was quite a nice gag. So anyway, they take our main girl and Jason
onto the spaceship.
Onto the ship. They're like, we can't bring back Jason. He is too fucking dead. But he's like an artifact.
Mm. It transpires that the professor leading the kids, he is broke. He owes money. He needs a big score. And someone suggests to him, oh no, this guy you've got here, this is the famous Jason Voorhees. 450 years ago, he killed a bunch of people. Mm. There's loads of people that would pay big money for this. So he's like, aha, I'm going to...
Yeah, yeah. So apparently people being brought back from the dead, like regenerated by nano spiders has been happening for for quite a long time. But they've never found anybody as old.
Mm.
So they've had people who are like maybe 200 years old, like wandering around. But like the professor's kind of like, oh, the girl and Jason, they could be worth some money to me.
Yeah.
So instantly he's kind of... not a cool dude. But yeah, he's got this like gang of like research students.
They're all clad in really weird, futuristic, sexy knitwear.
Yeah, it's really weird.
The outfits on this are so bizarre. It's like bikinis made out of wool that they kind of just wear constantly as their like day lab gear.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you watch like a 60s or a 70s sci-fi thing, and you can like, oh, this is what people thought sci-fi clothing would be, you know, was like back in the 60s or 70s. The idea of what sci-fi clothing is like in 2002 is really, really strange.
Lots of wool.
Lots of wool and crop tops. Yeah, and like they're all just wearing this while they're doing these experiments on like Jason's dead body and stuff. You know, no one puts on like some sort of, you know, like medical scrubs or something like that. Like, so they've got this like one girl who is like pulling out Jason's eye while he's dead on the slab. And she's just wearing a crop top and like lowrider jeans. It's really, really unusual.
And so because everyone's in all of this sexy sex gear, obviously when during Jason's autopsy, everyone is boning all at the same time on the entire ship. And we know from... This is one of the few places where they are true to the franchise.
Yeah.
In previous films, Jason has been brought back to life purely by the power of adjacent boning. And that is precisely what happens here.
It's kind of because he's thawing out.
Yeah.
But it's just the bit where you get, like, the most gratuitous shot of, like, two people boinking in like, their cabin. And Jason sits up. He's just like, whoa, now!
This will not stand!
I've been away for 450 years, and this is what's happening. I won't have it. And so then he proceeds to kind of go around and kill everybody.
Yeah, that's the film.
Yeah. It gets very alien/aliens because there's a load of like grunts, they're like, you know, like marines on this ship. I don't know what this ship is doing.
No.
Why it's out there, why it's full of students and marines.
Yeah.
But basically Jason goes on a rampage and the grunts go after him, try and hunt him down. They all get killed. So then it's just the students left and our girl. You know, from our present, she's still there kind of to be like, this is who Jason is, whatever. And then the ship gets more and more fucked up.
Yeah, Jason keeps blowing things up. He runs around with his machete. People are firing guns everywhere.
Yeah, so there's a lot of very sci-fi filmy references. So like I said, like it's like to the Colonial Marines in Aliens, there's that. There's holodeck kind of bits.
Oh my God. Okay, the holodeck scene. There's this incredible bit. Now, this doesn't make it into my list of kills because it's not a real kill.
Yeah.
Right. But so, yes, there is a kind of a fantasy holodeck thing where you walk on there. It's for training purposes, supposedly. It generates scenes from your mind. And when Jason's doing some stalking, the guys try to, like, distract him. But he walks into the holodeck and they turn it on. So he, like, suddenly it looks to him as if he's back on Crystal Lake. It's all this kind of sepia-toned log cabin Crystal Lake. It's kind of cool. And then the hologram that manifests for him is these two teenage girls in their pants. And they say,
hey, you want a beer?
Or do you want to smoke some pot?
Or we can have premarital sex.
So this is obviously designed to, like, you know, it's a red flag to a bull for Jason. He's like, oh, no. See, that's really got me mad.
Yeah.
And then we cut away as he's walking towards them to some sort of boring chat between the heroine and her mate. And then when we cut back into Jason in his holodeck fantasy, in an homage to part seven. From the New Blood with the sleeping bag wallop kill, he's got one girl in a sleeping bag, which he is using to hit the other girl in the sleeping bag.
So
because
comical.
They're holograms, they don't die. They're kind of like giggling. They're just like giggling away while he's like whacking them, like boom, 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 boom. It's a nice bit, really.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
And it's the bit that really kind of riffs on kind of how stupid Jason's motivations.
Yeah.
And like how one-sided it really is.
It's so knowingly played for laughs.
Yeah.
And I think it's that kind of scene. There's little bits like that peppered throughout, which is why I like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's made by... You can tell that the people making this film have a lot of love for all of the other Friday the 13th films.
It was produced, again, by...
Sean S. Cunningham.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... It's got a heart to it, even though it's like a really,
really
kind
silly.
Of... Slightly more... creatively bankrupt is what I would call it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very early noughties, very of its time, very like, we gotta give it a little pizzazz to get the kids into the movies. I don't care. It's fun.
No. So anyway... Then holodeck. Getting on to the other thing, we had the holodeck stuff, and then we've got, there's an android on the ship, KM-14. And she looks very, again, very much like Aliens, Prometheus. She's like very human.
She's normal.
She just acts a little bit funny, a little bit, you know, Mr. Data-ish. And she's got her... There's the guy who's, like, created her. He's programmed her, and he's got this weird relationship with her. And there's this one scene where he is, like he said, he's, like, going to check her circuits and stuff. And she stood there with her top up, showing her boobs. And she's kind of like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, they look great. And then her nipples fall off.
Yeah, she's just got totally smooth boobs, and she's really disappointed. And he's like, look, I don't think you should bother with nipples. And she's like, all the other girls have got them.
Yeah, that just was really bizarre.
It's quite a sweet scene. It's just like, she just wants some nipples.
Yeah, and it's not often in a film that you see someone's nipples fall off.
No.
So that was quite
almost never.
But, yeah, so this is a bit where he gives KM an upgrade to make her super badass, and she kind of shoots up Jason.
Yeah, she goes from being quite prim and, like, she walks slowly and is always the person that, like, closes doors behind people and makes sure that everything's okay.
Yeah.
He gives her this upgrade, and she comes back, and she's in, like, a leather kind of one-piece catsuit thing with bullet belts and two massive handguns.
That she shoots sideways the whole time, probably, like, 90s, holding the gun sideways, and she, like, does these insane... physics-defying backflips and high kicks.
And suddenly she's doing, like, sassy one-liners.
Yeah,
and...
she just gives Jason a right pasting.
Yeah.
And she shoots Jason to pieces.
Like,
she,
like, his head explodes.
Yeah, she takes off an arm and his leg.
Yeah, she purposefully shoots him in both knees.
Yeah.
Which is just really mean.
Yeah, so she, like, completely... kicks the crap out of him, and then the nano spiders get into Jason, and then he becomes, as the credits say, Uber Jason, which is what we saw in the trailer, where he's, like, ginormous, and it just
shiny metal arm, shiny metal mask.
Uber Jason doesn't really seem to be any different from normal Jason, though. He doesn't really display any, it's not like he's got, like, like a rocket launcher in his arm or something like that.
Well, why would the ants build that?
Yeah, no, I don't know. And then, so this is, like, the final chase. They're trying to get off of their ship to another ship that's come to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason is just blowing the shit out of everything.
He really is.
And, was it? There's some bit of techno gobbledygook where they're like, oh, we can't open the door or whatever, I need some guy, the sergeant, what's his name, Sergeant Marcus, has to, like, spacewalk out to the front to open the door. So
he's got this cool red space suit with like jetpacks on the back.
And he managed to get it open. The rest of the guys, they get on the ship and they eject as the whole main ship blows up. And then they go, no, Jason's still coming. And he's like, whoa,
flying through space. Slow-mo, machete in hand.
Yeah, and he's nearly upon them. And then Sergeant Marcus flies out with the jetpack.
Tackles him.
And dives into the Earth 2's atmosphere.
Yeah, and they're, like, burning up on re-entry.
Yeah, and they're like, my God, we're safe. And then you cut to this bit in like a very Crystal Lakey kind of setting.
Nice forest.
On Earth 2, where you've got these two young kids, looks like they're camping, having a little smooch, and they go, look, a shooting star. And it's like Marcus and Jason's body burning up on re-entry. And they go, and then it goes to the end, like, and it pans up to the night sky, and you hear them going, oh, looks like it went into the lake. Let's go check it out. And then you get a shot under the water in the lake of Jason's mask. And then the classic... and it's like, somehow, through all the insanity of Jason X, they managed to kind of still leave it in the status quo that Jason is at the bottom of a lake.
They brought it back. It's amazing. And you've got to give him credit. And then the credits roll. So what's interesting to me is that the next film, because this one is set 450 years in the future, we were slightly annoyed that it didn't explain exactly how he got out of hell. But I realised while we were watching it, the next film, Freddy versus Jason, chronologically in story time, that will take place before this one.
Yeah.
So they only need to explain how he gets out of hell in the next one. Now, the film after that is the remake. If they had not done the remake, the next film would have had to be set on Earth 2.
Yeah.
Which looks a lot like Earth, but still.
But they would have, like, laser guns and futuristic knitwear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the whole thing about, like, Jason getting out of hell, there's this bit of exposition saying that, like, we tried to kill Jason in 2008, where they, like, tried to electrocute him, gas him, hang him, and he wouldn't die. So they kind of, like, okay, like, that then doesn't make sense with the opening footage where it looks like maybe he's been brought back from the dead by scientists to do what? Then to try and kill him again.
To study his regeneration,
yeah.
Tom.
Okay, okay. And then...
Explain that! Pay attention!
Okay, okay. Oh my god. But, so, my beef that I had with this film is that I just didn't feel like... There's this whole bit where the Marines are all, like, hunting Jason in this kind of, like, hangar or whatever. And it is just so lacking in any kind of tension.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to do Alien.
Yeah, but it just falls flat. And I just felt like a lot of this film, there's some pretty fun, stupid stuff, but a lot of it just kind of trudges along. And I just don't know why. It just never really grabbed me properly. No. I just kept on just being like, okay, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's possibly the worst acted film of the whole series.
The acting is bad. The editing is bad, which is what I think where the lack of tension comes from. Every shot is a little bit too long.
Yeah, I also feel that just its early noughtiesness is horrible to look at now.
It's so 2002, it burns.
Yeah, and I was just, I did say to you while we're watching this, like, fucking hell, this is a hard film to look at, because everything is either too dark or is just so, it's just so garish. Like, everything is, like, shimmering neon blue and iridescent colours, and everything's so saturated and horrible. Everything looks like the video for Freak by Silverchair. It's, like, that kind of, like, horrible... Like, the sets look bad, and you just think, like, well, maybe... It's just a product of its time.
Do you think the reason this is stinging so much is that this is the first of these films that... you and I would both have been old enough to go and see at the cinema when it came out? Because the previous one that was in the 90s, we would have been a little bit too young for this.
Yeah.
But I would have been, what, 19 when this came out?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You would have been 20?
Yeah.
So we both, neither of us went, though, at the time. I remember this film coming out. I remember seeing posters for it. But at the time, I hadn't seen any of the other Friday the 13ths. And so I was like, oh, I wouldn't possibly know what was going on.
No. And it seemed, and also at the time, having not seen any of the films, it's still like, it seems kind of dumb. It's set in space.
Yeah. But so, mate, like, when... Maybe it's just, it's like looking at a really old photo of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're around that age, like 19, 20. We were both definitely dickheads.
Yeah, yeah. And more, like, so than we are now.
Yeah. But like looking back at that and just being like, oh, I want to crawl up inside myself.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed about my
youth. You can just almost like see what everyone's baggy jeans and curtains hair.
So maybe that's why it's so difficult.
Yeah, maybe. I was a bit disappointed that like the trailer just seemed to promise that this film was just going to be a rip-roaring cavalcade of new metal songs with Jason killing everybody. Not a single new metal song in there. I was just like, any moment now, like Falling Away From Me by Korn is going to come on. And then Jason's going to be like, hack, 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 hack.
Yeah.
And then there'll be Loco by Cold Chamber and like something else. You know, like that would have just been, I don't, you know, it wouldn't have been good, but it would have been really funny.
Yeah. And the funny bits were funny. And a lot of the bits that I laughed at were meant to be funny. A lot of them weren't meant to be funny. But, like, don't get me wrong, not my favourite, but, like...
Yeah, there's some...
I'm glad it exists.
Yeah. Such an odd... It's an odd film. There's a nice bit with KM and KM's maker, like, have a kiss and they start... But they become romantically involved.
Yeah.
Like, where KM is running down the probability that they're going to survive. And she's like, we've only got a 12% chance of surviving. And he's like, oh my God, can't we do any better than that? And then they kiss. And then she goes, statistical probability just went up by 55% just because they had a little smooch.
Yeah.
And then he goes... You want to try for 100? And then they smooch again. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever, Phil. You do what you want. I'll just get to sit here.
Which makes even less sense because statistically, according to these films, kissing will increase your chance of getting killed by Jason.
I know.
That's not going to make you safer. Bullshit, man.
Yeah, really odd. And our main girl, like, she adapts to being thawed out 450 years after she died very well.
Oh my goodness.
She's just kind of like, kind of goes a little bit, whew, and I'm good.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been asleep 450 years, you say? That's fine. You want me to pilot a spaceship? Not a problem.
Yeah, she seems to like also like adapt to like modern tech very well.
Yeah.
There's a nice bit when she's like, can you just beam us off or something? And they go, beam us off. Like, that was good. I think they could have done more gags like that, where she makes references to stuff.
You wanted it to be Demolition Man, basically.
Yeah, that would have been great. I wanted her to be like, hey, it's just like riding a bicycle. And I wanted them to be like, bicycle? What's a bicycle? I would have liked that. That would have been good.
Listen, man, I should probably slam into some kills.
I would like you to.
Okay, so this was definitely a pretty bloody film. This is another one where I couldn't really keep track of all of the kills, so I tried to just write down the ones that I thought were noteworthy. So here it is, a special gift from me to you. This is Todd Jordan, Toddly T's top three kills of Jason X, starting with the bronze medal, which I am going to give to... Ooh, it's a Marine whose name we didn't learn. It's one of the big, tough, grunt Marines who's trying to fight with Jason. I think he's the last one to like survive the first big batch of killing. They're in like somewhere in the bowels of the ship. It's very dark, very industrial, very steamy. Jason jumps up behind him, sideways slices him through the tummy with his machete. And you just think that that's it. You know, it's decent, but it's like pretty textbook. But what comes next is this amazing shot where the guy has been completely cut in half sideways along the belly button. He's got no hips, no legs, no bum, none of that. But he's pulling himself along, just his top half, to get to the radio.
Yeah.
So he can radio up and go, it's Jason Voorhees, we're all dead. And then he just goes, and just gives up the ghost. It's great.
Yeah, he's leaving a massive trail of gore along the floor behind him.
Just like dragging himself along. I don't think many people would be tough enough to do that. That is a tough Marine. That's the Space Marine training. I just liked it. It was pretty good.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, so that was my bronze.
Yeah.
This is, you know, pretty machine gun rate we're going to go through these. But the silver medal is going to go to another one of the grunt Marines. Mm-hmm. This happens shortly before that bit. They're like up on a big balcony thing, fighting with Jason. Jason picks him up, throws him off the balcony, and he lands on this massive upturned industrial drill bit. Yeah. It's like a sort of a corkscrew drill, which skewers right through his chest. And then as the weight of his body kind of like falls down, because it's a corkscrew drill, the guy just kind of like slowly sort of spins around 360 degrees as he lowers down over the drill. Pretty good. But what's even better is when one of the other, this lady finds him later, she sees him like down on this drill bit. She radios in and she goes, he's screwed.
Nice.
Nice pun. I mean, technically it's a drill, not a screw, but like, I'm a giver that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a giver that. So neither of those were like, you know, slam dunks.
Yeah, Yeah, I think they are fun kills, but I think it's not as good as... I think the last... Like, Jason Goes to Hell was a much more visceral affair than this one. Like, I think this one has a bit where the professor gets killed. He's the guy who says, it's okay, he just wants his machete back! And he's like, all like, nothing bad's gonna happen now! And then they cut away, and then you just hear him in the background going... And that's it. You don't see it. And I just really, you can't do that, man.
No,
you can't do that in slasher films. You can't do it in action films. I mean, you can sometimes show the body later, but it's a bit weak.
Yeah.
You didn't see his body
later. No, they never did.
How difficult is it for a Friday the 13th film to just go like, stab a dude with a machete? Yeah.
I mean, in this one, there's other things going on. So, like, there's all the sci-fi tropes and stuff like that for people.
Yeah.
Which is, for any other film, like a sci-fi film, it doesn't need to be that full of kills, necessarily. Like,
no.
I just want to see cool sci-fi stuff. But the problem is, they want this to be a sci-fi film. I don't care if it is in space. It's a Friday the 13th film, if it's got Jason in it. So you've got to deliver on those kills.
And it's even different from, like, say, doing something like in Alien, that you could have people being, like, dragged away, and you don't necessarily always have to see the kills. Like, in the first Alien film, when the dude is in the air vents, and you just see, he just turns around, and the aliens are just going, and you don't see what happens. But it's... Because there's all that tension there and all that build up, that totally works. Whereas I just don't feel this film has any tension in it whatsoever.
They've brought Jason too far into the light. You know, he's not a creature of the shadows. Like, we know exactly what he looks like.
Yeah.
He's a big, huge tank of a guy. He can't hide. You know, it's not about that anymore.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I think I would feel as like one of the failings in the film. It's still a fun film.
It's still a fun film. And I tell you what, the gold medal kill is a super duper kill. So Tom mentioned that there was this student performing the autopsy who's in this really weird futuristic knitwear crop top.
Yeah.
She's doing the autopsy. She is the first person to bite the bullet when Jason comes back to life.
Mm.
They're in this lab. This is a good one, guys. He comes to life. He grabs her and he takes her over to this big sink full of liquid nitrogen. And there's just a really cool shot where he sticks her head in the liquid nitrogen and we get this cool camera angle, which is from the bottom of the sink. So you see her face come into the water and she's like, no, like bubbles coming out of her mouth. But you see her face kind of frost over, which is very cool. That in a lot of films, that would be enough. But no. He pulls her out. Then smashes her head down on the desk and it shatters like a big piece of ice.
Yeah.
And then when he pulls it back up, her face is like this flat plane.
Yeah.
This big sort of bloody frozen flat plane. And she's still in this weird crop top thing.
Yeah. It was good.
Oh, it was good.
That was good.
That was top notch.
They made full use of Chekhov's sink full of nitrogen there.
Yeah.
Great.
As soon as you see that sink full of liquid nitrogen, you're like, something's going to get frozen and smashed.
Oh, yeah. I've got a good feeling about this.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's it. Man. That is Todd Jordan, Toddly T's top three kills of Jason X.
It was good, man. I liked it. Yeah. So, how are we feeling now about the franchise? We have really gone through the looking glass here. This is at the point of, like, just shrugging and just, like, people around a boardroom going, space?
I have never gone 10 films deep in a franchise before. This is the deepest I've ever gone into a franchise.
I mean, a lot of franchises don't get this far anyway.
We're not even done yet. We've got two more to go, man.
Yeah, yeah. This is a real long runner. And, yeah, it's weird. And but by this point, you're just kind of like, yeah, fine, why not?
Whatever you want to do, guys. Like, bring it on.
I mean, yeah, they're really obviously struggling to keep this Jace train rolling, and obviously like the times have changed quite significantly since the early 80s, and they've just got to try anything just got to give it a go, and yeah, you just get this really weird film. Really weird.
So what do you think about the next film we're going to watch? Is Freddy versus Jason? What are your feelings about that?
I'm looking forward to that. I think that should be a good one. I just think that, like, this film and Jason Goes to Hell have just been so weird and so far removed from, like, the whole, you know, what the core of this franchise is. And I feel with the next one, I think in a way they kind of have to go, but enough time will have passed between the making of the first one and this one. They go, you know what, now we can go back and we can revisit, like, what made the original ones good. And they bring in Freddy Krueger, and I think that's going to be really interesting. This is, like, one of those first kind of, like, big mashup film. They haven't done, like, a monster mashup film since, like, you know, like Godzilla versus King Kong,
or like Frankenstein versus the Wolfman.
But I think it's going to be interesting.
Is there any kind of particular, like, scenes you would like? Because I know you for a little while have been sort of asking for Jason versus Jason, basically.
Yeah,
and this is the closest you're going to get, obviously.
I'm really interested to how they, like, tie in the mythologies of both of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have an idea of, like, I think I know kind of, like, how that comes about. But yeah, I'm just really interested in how they merge those two worlds and how you play it, because Jason is always a silent villain.
Yes.
Freddy Krueger is a very vocal character.
Yeah, wisecracking.
Yeah, and he's kind of almost more of an anti-hero than Jason. I think he's got more personality than Jason.
Yeah.
So you can only assume that he is going to be it's going to be more about Freddy than it is about Jason, I think so. Because Jason can't do exposition and stuff like that, whereas, like, you know, Freddy can chat and he can move the plot along. All Jason can do is kill.
Yeah.
So I think that Jace is going to take a little bit of a backseat. I'm sure he's going to still be doing his biz, but I think it's going to be a bit more Freddy-centric.
Hey, man, as long as some teenagers get sliced up, I think we'll both be happy, right?
I think they can muster that up. I think it'll also be interesting, like, to see, like, yeah, kind of what the body count is like in this, because the I don't know what... I've only seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street. The first one, very low body count.
Yeah.
It's more about building fear and that whole thing of people avoiding dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this series is just people getting chopped down at a rate of knots.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what tact they take in this one. Like, what's the body count going to be like?
Yes, absolutely. Well, tune in next time when we dive into that and...
dive back into the lake.
Dive back into the bloody lake. Can't wait. This has been the Bitter End Podcast. Thanks for listening. I continue to be Todd Jordan.
And I will try and continue to be Tom Denny.
Don't forget, if you are listening to the podcast, please do let us know. Drop us a tweet at Bitter End Pod, or check out our Facebook page, also at Bitter End Pod. And we will catch you guys next time.
Yeah. Ta-ra.